I've got three passages I'd like to read tonight. The first one is in Deuteronomy in chapter 8. Book of Deuteronomy in chapter 8 and verse 7. For Jehovah thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of water brooks, of springs, and of deep waters that gush forth in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, land of olive trees and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, where thou shalt lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose mountains thou wilt dig copper, and thou shalt eat and be filled and shalt bless Jehovah thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not Jehovah thy God. And then in Luke's Gospel in chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. And having laid hold on Jesus, they led him away. And they led him into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed afar off. And they, having lit a fire in the midst of the court, and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain maid, having seen him sitting by the light, and having fixed her eyes upon him, said, And this man was with him. But he denied him, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And after a short time, another seeing him said, And thou art of them? But Peter said, Man, I am not. And after the lapse of about 1 hour, another stoutly maintained it, saying, In truth, this man also was with him, for also he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he was yet speaking, the cock crew. And the Lord, turning round, looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter, going forth without, wept bitterly. Finally, in John chapter 21 and verse 15, when therefore they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Feed my lambs. He says to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Shepherd my sheep. He says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, art thou attached to me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Art thou attached to me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee. Jesus says to him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say to thee, when thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself and walkedst where thou desiredst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and bring thee where thou dost not desire. But he said this, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And having said this, he says to him, Follow me. I was reminded of this first scripture when we looked at Deuteronomy 8 this afternoon. Fitted in with what I have in my mind to speak of in the gospel tonight. You know, the gospel wouldn't be anything without Christ at the center. Wonder if we realize how much we owe to the one who has given his all for us. There's many things that we enjoy, many blessings that we come into for which we can thank God. But I wonder if we know what it is to have that personal attachment to the Lord Jesus. The children of Israel had many blessings when they were redeemed out of Egypt. They were brought through the Red Sea. They were provided with food. They were provided with clothing. But yet they still rebelled against God. And these words come home to my heart. Beware that thou forget not Jehovah thy God. I feel the edge of it myself. Because there are many things that God has provided for us that we can enjoy. But have we forgotten that the one who has secured it all for us is our Lord Jesus Christ? And do we know what it is to have that personal touch with him? The children of Israel were quite happy to accept what God provided for them. They were quite able to enjoy the things that God had brought them into. But God has to say to them that despite all these blessings, beware. And you know, I think this is why the gospel is preached on a Lord's Day. Just to remind us that everything that we have been brought into has been secured at tremendous cost through the precious work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, are these things real to our souls? Do we know what it is to lay hold of these blessings for ourselves? Because they're centered in Christ, the very one who's redeemed us at the cross and brought us into wonderful blessing. And this is the one that I proclaim to you tonight. The one who has done everything for the will of God and who would have each one of us to be wholly attached to himself. The world, you know, offers many, many allurements. These are the things that would attract our hearts away from the preciousness of Christ as our Saviour. Take us away from the enjoyment of what God has brought us into. But the beware that is presented to us here is to cause us to be alert to the fact that there is one who has died upon Calvary's cross to make these things real to our souls and to bring us into the good of them. And that's why in the gospel we're brought back to take account of what the Redeemer has done, what Christ has done upon that cross, what he has accomplished, the mighty work that has been completed there, how precious it is. But all that our hearts might lay hold of it more, and that we might know what it is to have him at the center of everything that is for God. It is surely, but all that our lives might be aligned to it, and that there might be something in our hearts that causes us to be truly here, so that God may be served, and that there may be something for his glory. The children of Israel knew nothing of this. They knew the blessings, but they hadn't come into the good of it themselves. And that's something I fear, you know. We take the blessings for granted. We accept that the things that we enjoy are the things that God has provided. But do we still have that personal attachment to him? The knowledge of Christ as our living Saviour and Lord, so that everything that we do and everything that we say flows out of a true knowledge of himself, the one who has died for us and given himself upon Calvary's tree. I just commend God's love to each one tonight as knowing my own heart and as knowing how easy it is to slip away. And I've read these two scriptures in the New Testament tonight because I just want to draw your attention to the need to beware. I would say to each one tonight, but perhaps especially to those that are young, although I'm very conscious of the need of the word myself, beware. There are so many things to allure you away and take your heart and mind away from the precious things of Christ And just as the God said to the people of Israel, beware, so it is important today that we lay hold of the truths of the gospel and hold fast to what they mean to our souls. Or you look back perhaps and you take account of the day when Christ became your Saviour. Perhaps you know what it is for the joy that was yours once. The joy that filled your heart in the knowledge of Christ as the one who meant everything to you. But friend, I present to you tonight the one who would be your Lord and your Saviour every day. And I want to take you back for a moment to the cross of Christ and to the one who suffered and died there in order that your sins might be completely washed away. For the one who died there upon the cross established the righteous basis before God upon which he could come out in full and free salvation so that you could be forgiven. Every burden of sin that was laid upon him instead of you, so that you might go free. And I wonder, dear friend, what it means to your soul that Saviour died upon the cross, that you might have a living link with him. That's what Christianity is, you know. It involves a man in the glory. It involves a man with whom each one of us has a link. But oh, are we in the enjoyment of it? Are we in the knowledge of our Saviour's love in the way that we should be? I've read about Peter, and I'm thankful for the experiences that are recorded in Scripture about him. I often think of the mistakes that he made, and I'm so thankful that he made them. Because, you know, there's hardly a mistake that Peter made that I can't relate to. I'm just thankful for the record that there is of his history and for the way that he went and for the things that he did. I don't know how I would feel, you know, if a good many of the mistakes that I've made in my life were written in a book for everyone to read. You think back over the things that you've done, and you can be thankful for the words of Scripture that tells us their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more forever. They're gone from before the sight of God. But here are some of Peter's recorded for us in the Bible. How would you feel if others knew some of the things you've done, you've said, you've thought? All sins before God, but a God who has borne those sins and taken them away through the giving of his beloved Son, born in his body on the tree, carried away into a land where they'll never be remembered anymore, a place apart from men. How thankful we can be for the wonderful blessings that God has provided. But here we have in Peter's history a man who was committed to the Lord, who loved the Lord, and yet he failed. And here we find him. And I would say, beware. Here's what we find. Peter followed afar off. That's the first thing. Beware. How near are you to the Lord in your personal link with him? You know, the gospel, I can tell you on the authority of Scripture that he wants to be near to you. His love is towards you. He wants to embrace you. Oh, if there's any soul here tonight that's never known what it is to come to Jesus as their Saviour tonight, I would assure you that he wants to draw near to you. He doesn't want you to be afar. That's what happened to the younger son in Luke 15, wasn't it? He was in the far country and he came to himself and he returned, and what he found was a welcome. Here was Peter in circumstances of intense pressure. I don't minimize those circumstances at all. Here was one whom he loved, who was about to be delivered up had been delivered up into the hands of wicked men. Maybe Peter knew what the outcome would be. He was fearful. But he followed afar. I just want to encourage everyone here tonight to follow in nearness to the Lord, because he's the one who is at the center of everything that is for God. And if you want to be close to the center, you must be near to the one who's there. Here he is, and it says, he followed afar, and they, having lit a fire in the midst of the court, sat down together, and Peter sat among them. Again, I would say, beware. Here is Peter, in these conditions, with these people who knew nothing of the Lord and had no respect for him. And he finds himself in circumstances that are too much for him. Beware, lest thou forget Jehovah, the one who has redeemed thee, the one who has bought thee, the one who has brought you to himself. Tonight I believe the appeal in the gospel is that you should be drawn to Christ as the center, that you should know what it is to have that personal link with him by way of soul experience, by way of enjoyment, so that you might be brought back into the knowledge of his love and be brought into that place where he wants you to be. Peter is brought back, and so can you be too. He's brought back by the look of the Lord. It says in this account in Luke's gospel that the Lord, turning round, looked at Peter, and Peter remembered. I often think in the gospel, you know, that we regard it as just another account of a story that we know so well. But to think that there is a man in heaven tonight who is looking upon the heart of everyone that's gathered in this room in view of their blessing. And tonight, the message of the glad tidings is extended to all, that the God who knows your heart and knows your need and looks upon you is able to meet that need. That's the wonder of the gospel, the fullness of it. As it flows out from the heart of God, that there's one who is not only willing, but he's able to meet the sinner's need. And tonight, the appeal of the gospel is that you might come in response to that look of the Lord, knowing that it's not a look of condemnation, it's not a look that would dispel, but it's a look that would draw you to himself. It brought Peter to himself. And maybe there's a need for us to come to ourselves, to realize what it is to be at a distance from the Lord, so that that look might draw us to himself and know the heart that lies behind it and know the love that lies behind it. For it says here that Peter remembered the word of the Lord. We need to remember the word of the Lord, you know. We spoke about that this afternoon. Scriptures provide a firm foundation for each one of us. Oh, that we knew them better. But the Lord was so skillful in his use of God's word. And we can be too. The resources of the Holy Spirit are available to us to enable these things to be real to our souls, so that there might be true blessing from the pathway of every believer. How wonderful it is to see that God has in mind his complete restoration. Comes about through repentance, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is more than just saying we're sorry. But it's feeling things before a holy God. Oh, as we take account of the wonder of the gospel and the need for repentance before God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. May we cling to these fundamentals as knowing that they're absolutely true no matter what way the world goes. Yet, to be found faithful to him is something that the Lord loves to see. Well, he's looking at each one of us tonight, looking at our hearts. Perhaps he's looking at our pathways, looking to see where we are. Where are we in our soul history with God? He looks upon us, and in his love, he takes account of us just where we are. But what he has in mind is that we should come back to the cross, to the place where we can be recovered, as recognizing that all has been done there to the satisfaction of God. The work has been completed. It is finished, has been proclaimed. God in his goodness is drawing souls to himself so that they might be secured for everlasting salvation and glory. And the message of the gospel tonight comes to us, perhaps those of us who've known the gospel for many years, yet that we might know what it is to be drawn back to our Lord Jesus Christ at the center of it all. Well, when we come to John 21, it's Peter again. What a question this is. Lovest thou me more than these? I've often thought about that question, you know. When I was younger, it used to puzzle me. Who are the these? I used to wonder if it was more than these other disciples. But I don't think it is. I think what it is, the these is everything else that could occupy our hearts. Here was a man who had just been on this fishing expedition. Lovest thou me more than these? Peter was no doubt an excellent fisherman. He'd earned his living as a fisherman. He was skilled. Lovest thou me more than these? Are there things in your life, perhaps things you do well, things you aspire to, things you hope you'll be able to engage with in your life ahead if the Lord should leave you here? Lovest thou me more than these? Or, to put it in the language of Deuteronomy, beware lest thou forget Jehovah. Here was Peter, a man who was being set in view of service, for these are some of the last words that Jesus said to him. Maybe the Lord is speaking personally tonight. You may say, well, the gospel message is a general message, but it comes home to our hearts. And the Lord spoke here to Peter personally. Have we heard his word speaking to us just where we are? It's interesting, isn't it, here, the reply that he gets, Lord, thou knowest that I'm attached to thee. Perhaps that's what we say too. If the Lord would say to us tonight, do you love me more than all these other things? Perhaps we would say, Lord, you know I'm attached to you. Of course he knows. But then he asks the question again. Why does he ask it again? Dear friend, maybe he's asking you again tonight. Lovest thou me more than these? Is this personal attachment to Christ really something that matters to you more than anything else? And what is Peter's reply? Word for word, he says exactly the same thing. Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. You see how automatic is the response that Peter gives. And sometimes the response that we give to the appeal of the Lord is so automatic. We know the things we should say, and we say them. But the Lord is out to secure something real from your soul. And here we find the third time he asks the question again. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee. Oh, here is the one who searches the heart. He knows all things. He knows the things that really govern your heart, your soul. He knows the things that are precious to you. And afresh, he appeals to your heart that Christ might have the place that's rightfully his. Oh, will you trust him, this precious Saviour? The one to whom you've entrusted your soul, your salvation? The one whom you've trusted for your eternal home? The one whom you've trusted to take your sins away, to give you peace with God? Is this the one whom you'll trust for your pathway here? He's one who will never let you down, and I can say that from soul experience. That though, like Peter, I've wandered many a time, yet what I've proved is that there's one who is always there, ready to come close by you, that you might know his love, and that you might know his power in restoring you to himself. And he says here, having said this, he says to Peter, follow me. And I would just like to leave those words with you tonight. Those words, follow me. And again, I would like to remind you of the one who trod that pathway of absolute perfection before God. He followed a pathway that was beset by all sorts of trials and temptations. Even as we were reading this afternoon, you see Satan's attempt to divert him from the pathway of complete committal to his Father's will. Come to Christ tonight and see how he has followed that will so perfectly. And hear his word afresh to you to follow me. That's the call of the Lord today. Not that we should just be here following rules and regulations, but we should follow a Saviour. A Saviour who will never guide us outside the principles that have been established according to God, but one who will guide us and will be to us a living, a real, a personal Saviour. And this is the one who will see us through to the end. I just commend these words to us tonight. I'm very conscious that everyone here, perhaps, probably, has a link with the Saviour. But do we know what it is to trust him day by day, hour by hour, and to give him the place that is rightfully his in our pathway here? May we accept these words as from the Lord tonight.